I get a call and I had to come pick up one of my children. She got in the car. I said to her, let's go get ice cream. She was like, I don't understand, mommy. I did a really bad thing and I'm in a lot of trouble. Don't you want to yell at me? And I said, no, I really don't, because I know how it feels to do a bad thing and be in a lot of trouble. And I'm your mommy and I love you. And I'm a soft place to land when that happens.
You're gonna make me cry.
Of course I had told her not to do that thing. She knew not to do that thing. She knew it was wrong. She did it anyway. But God wants to be a place where we come back and he says, let's go get some ice cream. I love you. And I'm a soft place to land when you screw it up. Hi, this is Holly. Welcome to Study with Friends, a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God through his word, the Bible. If you miss any part of this program or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along, and sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. Our friend Andrea has some great questions we started talking about last week and continue this week. Now we're really down in the nitty-gritty of it. We're talking about some of the components of making faith-filled decisions. How does prayer factor in? Should I keep praying every day about the same things, or does that mean I have not really released this concern to God? How about godly counsel? How do I know when the urging toward a decision is really of God, and how do I know if it's my enemy Satan trying to derail me? These are all really good questions, and I'm so grateful to Andrea for asking them. Let's talk about them together.
I've read that you really should only have to pray about something and ask for something, you know, once kind of thing, where you, if you keep saying it over and over and asking, it shows a lack of faith.
I've heard that too.
Is that true?
The persistent widow says, keep asking.
I mean, I've talked ad nauseum about the fact that my mom died. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God, that was one of those times he said, sweetie, I have a different plan. I'm sorry.
And I was talking with her just about discerning what I'm supposed to be saying yes to and what I'm supposed to be saying no to. And how do you know what your best yes is? And how do you know those questions, those what you should be leaping towards, what you should be saying, this is what God wants me to do. This is the path I'm supposed to be going down.
How do you know?
Exactly.
They all look good.
Or sometimes none of them look good.
Mm.
I thought I was taught that you're supposed to keep praying.
We're talking about making decisions. We're talking about discernment. We're talking about understanding God's will and knowing the right way to go. And sometimes it's harder than others. Today, I want to encourage you that if you do walk down that path, God has blessings for you there. If you make these decisions in faith, and I'm glancing at Romy. This shameless audacity passage has been speaking to me over the last 2 or 3 months because it costs us money to be on the air. And I hate to ask for money. I feel like, well, if this is what God wants, he's just going to provide the money. Well, guess what? Sometimes that means I have to bang on some doors. And that's an uncomfortable place for me. But I'm making a decision that's faith-filled to bang on the doors. And you know, it's like when Jesus said to the disciples, put your net on the water. And they were like, dude, we just did. There's nothing out there. Right? And then he pulled it in. They could barely get it into the boat. And he said, just put your net on the water. I'm Jesus. I said, put the net out, you know? Well, would the fish have come in if they were like, no, that's an uncomfortable thing to let you tell me to do something. I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter. You're going to tell me how to do my job? I mean, who can't relate? If they had said to him, we know what we're doing. Thanks anyway. They would have missed the blessing. And so it's an uncomfortable place to follow God and to follow what he says and to move forward in faith when everything or even one thing looks like it might not be the right way to go. It's uncomfortable and it's scary. And that's why we call it a bold move. But if you do it, God is huge. And it's so worth it. It's so worth making these decisions because when you see what happens on the other side, you are so glad you did. I'm not encouraging people just to make bold decisions and flail about like, oh, this is a bold decision. I'm uncomfortable with it, so I'm going to do it. That's not the formula. The formula is seek the Lord, read his word, godly counsel, pray about it. And then when you, listen, guys, you know when you know. And then it's a matter of actually just stepping in and doing it. When you have this sense and you're just like, okay, this is the right thing, whether I like it or not, and I'm going to do it. Then on the other side of that are these incredible blessings. Do you want to say something?
The whole thing with spiritual warfare. How do you know that it is actually God telling you and leading you to go down this path versus it's not the devil tempting you to do something? Because especially if you're getting closer to God and you're walking closer with him and you're trying to do the right thing and the devil's saying, whoa, wait a minute, I don't, this is not what I want. But how?
Okay, so I'm going to refer you back to read me those three verses you wrote at the top of your page.
Jeremiah 33:3.
Which says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know.
Deuteronomy, but I didn't get the number.
30:14.
Thank you. Which says,
but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it.
Matthew.
And it was Acts 17:27.
Which says, God did these things so that men would find him, men would seek him and perhaps find him, although he is not far from any one of us. That's the first step. You know because he wants you to know. He's not going to hide it from you. I also did a series on this too. It's called, well, I'll refer you to it and I'll put it on the blog. We've done a few things. One's called Divine Sovereignty versus Human Responsibility. So that's a worthwhile one to look at. And then we just did a series called Captive, which is on 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, which is all about spiritual warfare. But the short list is, I'm just going to reiterate the question to make sure I understand it. What you want to know is, how do I know if I'm hearing from God or hearing from the enemy?
Exactly. When we have this bold decision to make, like, yep. How did Rahab know?
Okay.
Or, you know, how did, it's this huge thing and okay. It can go either way.
I'm going to tell you how Andrea can know. And it's from the counsel of the whole Bible. And of course, we'll see echoes of it in Ruth and Rahab. A few ways, but the core is Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. And what that means is when you look forward, what is the fruit of this decision going to be? What is the fruit going to be in your life? What is the fruit going to be in your children's lives? What is the fruit going to be in the people around you? You had a few examples that were awesome female, and like all of us have experienced saying yes to too many things and health suffering and the family suffering and the marriage suffering because it looks like something you think you're supposed to do. So it's a gut check, the fruit of the tree. Okay, I planted this tree. What is the fruit this tree is bearing? Is it time to pull this tree up? Sometimes you can't foreshadow what that fruit is going to be, but you can see it when it happens and then you learn from it and then you can see it next time. Right? So you won't always know. I'm sorry, that's a bad answer. You won't always know. But as you grow in faith and in his word and the company and fellowship and counsel of godly people and in prayer, he won't hide himself from you. He will use those things to show you what is of him and what is not of him. You're going to make some mistakes. Rahab told some lies. We've all made some mistakes, but you'll learn from them and you'll do better next time. Wise women ask wiser women. I have women in my life that I cling to who are spiritually much farther along in the path. And when I get to a decision and I'm like, I just can't find some clarity on this, I get in front of those women and I'm like, tell me, what do you think? What do you think I should do? That's okay to do. Find a trusted resource. You have your pastor's wife. You have friends. God is not going to leave you in the wilderness without the resources you need to make good decisions because of Acts 17, Deuteronomy 30, Jeremiah 33:3. He promises not to do that. So he's not hiding from you. He wants to show you these answers. Take your time. The other thing I always say, it's better to be right than be quick. If you feel rushed to make the decision, it's probably not God's best for you. That's a broad brushstroke, but let me flesh it out. If it's God's best for you, and to God, 1,000 days is like a year and a year is like 1,000 days, then you don't need to do it today. It'll still be God's best for you next week. So if you feel rushed, that's a big red flag. There are several other red flags that over time you'll learn. I love you so much. I know you don't want to make mistakes, but you may. You may make some mistakes. Just promise yourself that you'll learn from them. Don't condemn your mistakes and don't beat yourself up. Move on and say, okay, I screwed that up. We talked about that a little bit ago. When you don't take the opportunities to witness to somebody and then you feel that in your heart and you're like, oh, I messed that up. Okay, I messed that up. I'm not going to forget that I messed it up, but I'm going to forgive myself for messing it up. And next time when God puts that opportunity in front of me, I'm going to be informed by this experience and I'm going to do better. That's all you can do. There's no script. You're not going to get it right all the time. At the end of the day, though, God's plans for you are perfect. And he knows all the things you're going to do right. And he knows all the things you're going to do wrong. And he will use all things for his glory in your life. What is that, Philippians 1:8? Is it Philippians 1:8? Come on, guys. Anybody?
I don't know.
Well, we know Jeremiah. Who knows Jeremiah 23:11? 29:11.
Say, do you mean 29:11?
Yeah. Who knows that one off by heart?
I don't know by heart, but I have it in front of me.
Oh my gosh. Go for it.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, it's Philippians 1:6. Six, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's not really the one I was looking for. What's the one that says God works all things to his glory? Romans 8:28. And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the reason I'm bringing that up is all things work toward his purpose. The things you did right and the things you did wrong. And so walk forward, do the best you can, cling to him, and he's not going to hide from you, and his plans are good. He loves you, like you love your sons. I know, I love watching you with your boys. You just love them. You love them. And that's how God feels about you. He doesn't want you to trip and fall. He's going to protect you from that. But sometimes you're going to trip and fall. Your boys are going to trip and fall. They're not going to do everything you tell them. They're going to make mistakes and they're going to trip and fall. But you don't love them any less.
I didn't like them much last night. Still love them.
But you know, like sometimes in that moment, you even love them a little more when they mess up. I can remember, I'm not going to say much because I try to respect my girls on this program. But something happened at school and I got a call. And I had to come, it was a long time ago, elementary school. They're doing much better now. I got a call and I had to come pick up one of my children. And she got in the car and I said to her, let's go get ice cream. And she was like, what? She said, you know what I did, right? I said, mm-hmm. I said, let's just go get some ice cream. She was like, I don't understand, mommy. I did a really bad thing. And I'm in a lot of trouble. And don't you want to yell at me? And I said, no, I really don't. Because I know how it feels to do a bad thing and be in a lot of trouble. And I'm your mommy. And I love you. And I'm a soft place to land when that happens.
You're going to make me cry.
I'm making myself cry. And that's how God loves us. Of course I had told her not to do that thing. She knew not to do that thing. She knew it was wrong. She did it anyway. But God wants to be a place where we come back and he says, let's go get some ice cream. I love you. And I'm a soft place to land when you screw it up. So when we think about the decisions we're supposed to make and the things that we're supposed to do and we're racked with in the inability to make those decisions, we just take comfort and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can. Love me either way. I know that you love me either way. And you're going to make it good. You're going to make it good because that's what you, that's your heart for me. That's your heart for me. I know you have plans for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope in a future. I believe that about you. I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to make this decision. By the way, Andrea, I think it's absolutely okay and appropriate to say to God, don't let me make the wrong decision. Close the doors. I'm devoted to you. Do not let me screw this up. I'm begging you, don't let me screw this up. Close the doors that I need to not walk through. I don't know my way. I'm in a dark place and I can't see. You know the way. Don't let me go the wrong way. That's totally okay to pray. God loves that. God loves it when you say, I'm on my face in front of you. I don't want to screw this up. Please don't let me screw this up. The only context I can give you is when we think of our children. I just loved her that day. I knew when she got in the car. I mean, I was kind of on the fence. I didn't drive over there and say, I'm going to take her out for ice cream, because I knew this was a bad thing that had gone down. But I saw her face and I saw her countenance and I saw her brokenness. And I was like, I'm not going to pile on. I'm not going to pile on. She's already feeling it. And I'm going to love her. And I'm going to show her what real love looks like. I have better opportunity now to show her what real love looks like by loving her than I will ever do of trying to pound that lesson in and make her feel worse. That's how God loves us. He loves us that way. He's not going to leave us in our brokenness and our sin. And when we beg him, he's going to show us. And that's why I started with those three verses. He's not hiding from us. He wants to show himself to us. And so just don't be afraid. He's not the author of fear. There's a healthy fear of God. We can talk about that another time too. But he's not the author of fear. If you feel fearful, if you feel rushed, if you feel condemned, if you feel guilt, those are things that are not authored by our God. You can feel convicted. He's going to let you know if you screwed something up, but he's not going to condemn you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that you wouldn't be condemned. Why would he undo that by condemning you? It's too big a price to pay for him to try to undo that just because you did the one bad thing that Jesus couldn't cover on the cross. Forget it. Doesn't happen. Does that help?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, and this is a great actually tie-in, because the last fill-in on our paper is the message in the lives of both women is redemption. And ultimately, of course, it's about faith and making hard decisions. But as I said before, these are ordinary women. They're not superstars. Rahab was a prostitute, and she ends up in the line of Jesus Christ. She's one of four women lifted up out of hundreds of years of generations as exalted, revered, respected. And if that's not redemption, I don't know what is. And remembering that she shows up again in what we call the Hall of Faith, that generations upon generations call upon her name as an example of great faith. A lot of times what gets in my way is my own stuff. So I'll make up reasons why I can't do something or be something. Always that has to do with me focusing on me. God is so much bigger than me that when I focus on me and I say that can't happen, you know, in the context of saying that can't happen because of me up against the God of the universe, it seems ridiculous. But I sure can get into that space, that headspace, like, oh, I can't do that. So that's the first thing. I just want to leave sort of parting thoughts. To get into the headspace, I can't possibly, is to come up against the idea that God is the God of the universe and he's the God of your life. And you're in good company. Moses said, I can't possibly. Plenty of heroes in the Bible felt inadequate. I happen to think that's the beginning of humility and submission, and that God can use you better when you recognize that you can't possibly, he must have to. And second, God really wants to redeem my stuff. You know, some of the things I've talked about pretty openly, about making bad choices, especially in college, he can make something amazing out of it. He can use my junk, and he doesn't have to work around it. He can work with it and in it and through it. And so to not be intimidated by what you're bringing to the table as it comes time to make a bold decision in faith, but understand instead that he's going to use it, all things, Romans 8:28, I will never forget now. I'll actually forget by this afternoon. Romans 8:28, all things to his glory. So no excuses. And just remember, you only need a small amount of faith to make a bold decision that can bless you and the people around you. God can and will redeem. And what does redeem mean? It means make something new and good from all our junk and give us a new life if we let him. When the God of the universe knocks on a door, open it. Take the leap. You will be blessed for it. And I want to close by reading one of the most, if not the most, important verse about faith and making a bold decision. And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's a bold decision in faith. Anything else you guys want to add? Okay, I'll close in prayer. I just love you, Lord. I just love you, love you, love you. How you meet with us, how you're faithful to us, how you give me goosebumps. Even though I knew all the answers already to the questions I was asking, you come and you lay on these times when we put our hearts out to you. You are so faithful, and you meet with us, and you love us, and you take us out for ice cream when we screw up. And I thank you, God, for that. You are beyond me. You are beyond what I can understand. And I just am in awe of you. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for teaching us and giving us examples in your word of how to walk in faith. God bless us as we try to do that, even today and as we go forward. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of the program, we talked about the most important decision we can make by faith, and that's the decision to give our life to Jesus Christ. If you need more information about that decision, or if you want to talk more about it, please contact us on the website, studywithfriends.org. We would love to hear from you and pray for you. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener-supported, this ministry happens when we allow God to move His money among His people to do His work. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as we reach hearts with God's Word? This month, we're praying that 100 listeners would make a commitment of just $10 a month. And that's something that goes a long way here, because we're an all-volunteer organization. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of just $10 a month. You can set up monthly giving at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. I'd like to read you some emails from our listeners and supporters. This one from Kathy. Thank you for your candor. I only heard 2 lines and they set my heart free. I'm now free to start a new relationship, a better relationship with my adult son. I heard one of the women say we must sometimes let something die to let something new grow. I thank Jesus and the courageous woman I heard for less than 5 minutes. I plan to listen regularly now. And from Carol. Hello, and thank you all for your ministry. I started listening to one of your shows in the Captive series by accident. Near the beginning, one of you read a list of 5 to 6 ways to tell the difference between godly thoughts and thoughts planted by the enemy. This was exactly what I wanted to find out. It's really just what I've been needing. I'm 49 years old. It's about time I get my thoughts straight. I know God wanted me to hear your broadcast that evening, even though I had never listened to you before. I was going through the channels and heard the topic, which I knew was something I needed to hear. Thank you so much for all your help and your ministry. I will pray that God blesses it. I actually emailed Carol back personally, letting her know how much we needed to hear from her. And it was such an encouragement to get this email. It was really right on time. And now we need to hear from you. We need to know if you're being blessed by what we're doing. Even if you can't donate, would you send us a quick email? You can contact us through the website or directly by emailing info@studywithfriends.org or send us a note at Study with Friends Ministries, P.O. Box 1421, Morrisville, PA 19067-9996. We need your encouragement just as much as you need ours. That's what friends do. See you next time on Study with Friends.